The second source. The Jews were numerous and powerful race in Arabia at the time of Muhammad. Among their chief tribes were the Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Qurayza, and Nadir. Having their privileges in the visiting of Medina, when it became manifest to Muhammad that the Jews would in no wise recognize the prophetic office of him, Muhammad fought several severe battles with them, not without difficulty, either took them prisoners and slew them with the sword, or at least expelled them from the land. Now, although these Jews were ignorant people, yet they possessed and carefully preserved the Torah and the Psalms, etc., and were called, as also the Christians, the people of the book. Though the nation at large knew little or nothing of Hebrew, yet they were familiar with the stories of the Talmud and some tales which had come down from their ancestors, and which these Jews, being ignorant of their own sacred books, they regarded as holy and divine. The ignorant Arabs looked upon their neighbor's Jews with honor and respect, as being of the seed of Abraham and the possessors of the Word of God. Therefore, when Muhammad turned aside from idols as hateful to the Almighty and sought to bring his people back to the faith of Abraham, he betook himself with the utmost care to learn in what the teachings, customs, and obligations of that faith consisted. Comparing these with the Quran and Hadith traditions, we find the closest similarity between the two. Thus the Quran throughout bears witness to the faith of Abraham, to the truth of the Jewish religion, and the heavenly origin of Jews' divine books. Muhammad made the holy house of Jerusalem the Qibla of his followers, being the Qibla of the Jews. Now, if we compare the Quran with the tales in the Talmud and other books still current among the Jews, it becomes evident that although the Quran speaks of Abraham and many others of whom we read in the Torah, still all the wild stories the Quran tells us are taken from Jewish traditional sources. Take an example. There is in the Quran the story of Cain and Abel. Abel was murdered by Cain. Their parents Adam and Eve were weeping, while a raven showed how to bury the dead. This story has been told in variety of ways by the Jews. In the book Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, we find the source of burying of Abel as described in the Quran. Mishnah Sanhedrin says, "He that kills an Israelite is counted as if he had killed the world at large, and who saves a single Israelite is counted as if he had saved the whole world." Compare it with the Quranic verse 5:35 and we'll find the same account. The verse in the Quran, "Ya nar kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim," refers to the story of casting Abraham by Nimrud into the fire unheard. In this story, the Quran is taken from Midrash Rabba. The origin of this story in Genesis 15:7, I am the Lord that brought thee, Abraham, out of the Ur of Chaldees. Ur means a city. Or means fire or light. So ages after the Jewish commentators, ignorant of the Babylonish, translating the scripture into Chaldean, put the Chaldean word or fiery oven. The story of the visit of the Queen of Sheba and uncovering her legs as she walked before Solomon over the glass floor, which she took for a sheet of water, was taken from the two Targum of the Book of Esther. Compare the Quran 27:17 onward. The story of the descent of Harut and Marut in the Quran 2:96 and other spirits from above to tempt mankind is similar to three places of the Talmud, especially in Midrash Yalkut, cap 44. In the Muslim story, the angels are called Harut and Marut, but in Jewish source, they are named as Shamhazai and Azael. Harut and Marut were actually two deities of Mount Ararat. All such narratives in the Quran are not taken from the scriptures, but taken from the foolish tales of the Jews. The account of Sinai overhead, Quran 2:60 and 87, plus 772, has arisen from Exodus 32:19, where when Moses saw people worshipping the calf, cast the tablets of the law beneath the mountain. And hence all this wild fiction of the mount being lifted over their heads. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was Shamael who made the calf and made it cry, not As-Samiri, as the Quran names, because Samaria didn't arise till some 400 years after Moses. In the Quran are a number of Chaldean Syrian words, like Torah, Jahannam, Jannat-e-Adn, Taghut, Furqan, Sakina, Tabut, and Hebrew. They are Hebrew, Syriac, or Chaldean. They are not the genuine Arabic words. To know their meaning, one must learn these languages. It is a bad habit of the Muslim commentators of the Quran that they always try to find the roots of any word in Arabic. And that is one of the biggest reasons that they are often committing mistakes which leads the readers to a wrong direction. The idea of seven heavens and seven stories to hell is similar to Hagiga and Zohar, are similar to the Hindu Puranas and Zoroastrian teaching. The Lord's throne being above the waters in the Quran is similar to the Jewish scholar Rashi, commenting Genesis 1:2, says that the glorious throne had stood in the heaven and moved over the face of the waters. The tradition says that the ruler over Jahannam is Angel Malik. the Jews also speak of the prince of hell. Only the Muslims call him Malik, following the ancient idolaters of Palestine, who worship the ruler of fire, Molech. A'raf in the Quran is a wall or a veil separating paradise and hell. Is also similar to the teaching of the Jewish Midrash and Avesta and Pahlavi writings. In the three passages of the Quran, we are told of Satan listening stealthily and being driven away with a stone. It is the why he is called Ash-Shaytanur Rajim or Ash-Shaytanul Marjum. And in the Surah 50:29 of the Quran, the verse يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَا هَلِمْ تَلَأْتِي وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ, meaning, one that day we, means God, shall say unto hell, Art thou full? And it shall reply, Is there yet any more? Similarly, in the Jewish author, the prince of hell shall say, Day by day, give me food, that I may be full. In the Surah, Quran 11:42 and 23:27, it is said in connection of the Noah's flood, Wafarat Tannur, the oven boiled over. And a Jewish work says, the people of the flood were punished with boiling water. These similarities are interesting as showing the close connections between the Quran and Jewish sources. Religious usages of Islam taken from the Jews are many. The fast of Ramadan has been taken from the Sabaeans, but the verse, Eat and drink until you can distinguish a white thread from a black one by the daybreak, then fulfill the fast. In Mishnah Barakot, it is said that the beginning of the day is at the moment when one can but distinguish a blue thread from a white thread, a striking coincidence. When the time of the prayer, 5 times a day, comes, wherever a religious Muslim happens to be performing his devotion on the spot, a street or a platform. This is the same practice which refers in St. Matthew 6:5. The Jews were also following. The Quran repeatedly attests the Bible, our scripture, as the word of God. Yet, but only one quotation is taken from them, viz., Quran 21:105. Verily, we have written in the Psalms after the mention of Al-Dhikr that my servant, the righteous, shall inherit the earth. Here are Psalms 37:11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. The Jews had an idea that all the books of Old Testament and Talmud were deposited in the ark on the tables. Muhammad, hearing this of the Jewish law and scriptures, imagined the same of his own Quran also being placed on the Lauh-e-Mahfuz or preserved table. Here of Surah 85:21-22 with Rabbi Simeon. The origin of the Qaf is clearly originated from the Jews' writing called Hagiga. From all that has been said it must be clear to the audience that the Jewish writings and the fanciful tales of Talmud formed one of the chief sources of Islam. The second source of Islamic information was the Christian apocryphal writings Islam has so largely borrowed. There were many Christian tribes in Arabia belonging to heretical sects who had sought refuge there from persecutions in Roman lands. Little versed in their own scriptures, they spent the time in imaginary and childish fables. Muhammad listened gladly to such stories, which we find in the Quran. 1. Take the story of the seven sleepers, Ashab al-Kahf, in a cave slumbered for ages, fearing persecution. Quran 28, from 8 to 26. It is one of the Greek origin as referring to the age of Emperor Decius, 249 till 251 AD, when Christians were terribly persecuted. Seven men of Ephesus took refuge in a cave and fell asleep for 200 years. It was taken from a Latin work of Gregory of Tours, Story of Martyrs, 195. 2. The stories of the Virgin Mary, both in the Quran and with vast detail also in traditions. Mary's mother is called Hannah. The story of her childhood, she was fed by angels with a provision from Allah in the temple. Joseph was chosen by a miraculous rod, etc., much is as in the Proto-Evangelium and other Egyptian and Coptic writings. Aaron's sister Miriam is curiously confused with Mary of the Gospel. 3. There is the tale of Jesus as of his speaking in the cradle, the story of Jesus breathing life into birds of clay, etc., Quran 341 plus 519. Muhammad perhaps learned it from Mary, his Coptic concubine, as they mentioned in such Coptic books as the Gospel of St. Thomas. 4. The story of the descent of the table Al-Ma'idah from heaven, perhaps the table of the Lord's Supper, Quran 512-215, alludes the dream of Peter, Act 10 from 9-16. 5. And the promise of Jesus of a prophet to come, called Ahmad, Quran 61:6, which was apparently caused by the mistake of Periclitus for Parakletos in connection with the coming of the Holy Spirit. 6. The Quranic account of the notion that the resemblance only and not the real person of Christ was slain, Quran 4:156. All these were derived from the heretical teachings of the Basilides, etc. 7. Muhammad's traditions say that Jesus would descend upon earth and will live 40 years, become married, etc. This imagination arose by Revelation 19, 7-9, where the marriage of the Lamb is mentioned. 8, Surah 3:48 says about Jesus' death, the meaning being that after his return to this earth, Jesus will die. This idea is entirely opposed to the scripture. The story has arisen from a passage of a book, History of Joseph the Carpenter, regarding Enoch and Elias, who ascended without dying to the heavens. They will return to the world in the day of grief and fear and distress, and then will die. The story of Adam's creation from a handful of earth was taken from the heretic Marcion and the Zoroastrian source. The ideas of the bridge Sirat and the balance, seven heavens, the Huris, Azazel, and other spirits coming up from Hades, the light of Muhammad, are from Eastern literature. All these sources are altogether human and misleading. One good thing is there in the Quran, namely a thorough testimony to the Gospel and the Torah. All true Muslims are accordingly invited to study both, and thus through our Savior Christ obtain the true promise of their father Abraham.